This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. The proverbial curtain went up on the play The Bee, staged by Theatre Source last evening in the Indocine at KL Park, and to a well-attended house made up of a mix of people. The earliest there were, in one way or another, connected to the show, family and friends. But as it approached 8:30, younger ones appeared. I took the opportunity before the show started to ask a few people what they knew about the play, their expectations, and what prompted them to come.
What do you know about this show?
The storyline, not exactly, but I do know that basically it's a play. I don't really watch plays, actually, so this is probably the first one that I am watching.
So what brought you here?
My daughter is involved. Okay, she's one of the assistant stage manager or something like that, yeah. So she's been telling us, and she's been working very hard to on this show. So, and I believe we have to support her in that sense, yeah. Yeah.
What are you expecting from the play?
Well, based on the preparation that they are doing, I would believe it's going to be a good play, yeah. I mean, the storyline came from a very renowned writer, based on a Japanese author or something like that, I think. Writer, rather. So yeah, I'm expecting... Well, I mean, it's a good show, probably, yeah. I've not seen how the acting will be, but the storyline will be probably quite good.
I don't really read about this play because I want to go in so that it won't spoil anything. I just want to go inside and enjoy everything from scratch, yeah. I'm here to bring my girlfriend theatre experience for the first time.
Why do you think it's important for her to see it?
In life, we have to have maximum exposure of everything. So if we missed out on something, we will never know whether we really appreciate it or not. Like, here is the arts, it's the theatre. Yeah.
So what do you know about this play?
What do I know about this play? I don't know actually much about it.
So what made you want to come see the show?
Mostly to support friends, but I do know that, you know, it is about a boy and then a robbery. I know at least that much. It's better to not have expectation. I find that I enjoy the show more that way.
My daughter is acting in it. So I have some vested interest to come to watch. No, I told her not to tell me anything because I want to be surprised. I do watch other plays which my daughter was not involved, like Contractions was one of it, Betrayal was one of it.
Why are you here?
I'm here because my boss asked me to come. Yeah, I'm just hoping to surprise myself. Beyond that surprise, nothing comes to mind at this point in time. Sorry.
As the title of the play is The Bee, the set has a black and white painted honeycomb backdrop, with cells strategically broken so that the actors can enter and exit the performance space, which is a hexagon with a square low table right in the middle. The audience sits on three sides of the hexagon facing the stage. This play, written in English by Japanese actor and director Hideki Noda and Colin Teven, was first staged in 2006. Set in Tokyo in 1974, it tells the story of a man named Ido and the rather unexpected events that unfold when this office worker, what the Japanese call a salaryman, goes to his son's birthday. He arrives to discover that the home is barricaded and that his wife and son are held hostage by a prison escapee, Ogoro. The police and the media are there. Chaos and turmoil prevail, but the police is apathetic and ineffectual, the media covering the event overbearing and obstructive.
It has been a long day. I make my way home, remembering to buy a present for my son. But when I turn the corner of the street, imagine my surprise to see...
Please keep back. Please keep back. The road is closed.
But I need to get through. I need to get home.
Please use another route today.
That is my home. There is no other way.
You mean that house there is your home?
Yes.
You mean that you are Mr. Ido?
Yes, I am. Now may I pass?
Yes. No, please stay here. Mr. Ido, you must stay calm while I go get Detective Dodoyama.
The Bee, a play by Theatre Source, opened last evening. But a week ago, I caught up with assistant director Arif Hamizan and actor Razif Hashim to help paint a picture of the kind of play that it is. Coming up, this conversation with the duo on the making of The Bee. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Last evening, a play written by Hideki Noda and Colin Teven, workshopped from a Japanese short story, opened at KL PAC. Last week, I invited Arif Hamizan, the assistant director, and the actor Razif Hashim to share with us their thoughts on the creation of this production. What are the challenges performing this play, which Hideki Noda workshopped from a Japanese short story by Yasutaka Suitsu?
Performance-wise, the play takes place in numerous places. So immediately the challenge is for us to try and find ways to evoke different environments for the audience. Obviously, playing in the Indocine, that's a very small space, with a cast of seven. There is obviously also that challenge of, is there a backstage? You know, how does this world operate on stage for the audience? And I think that limitation has actually pushed our creativity further. I think we've come up with some creative ways to overcome that. And it's much more interesting that way, I find. Yeah, yeah.
I think the creativity that we've had to adopt also puts it as a challenge for a lot of the actors to really try to find the basis of realism within that surrealism, you know, because it's not a very realistic play. You know, the story is also quite, I think the writing, as Arif would say, is whimsical. So that's, yeah, a challenge for the actors.
When you first read the script, what were your expectations? What did you anticipate?
I find the play to be really sexy in terms of all these elements that the playwright plays with. The use of language in the play itself, you have blank verse, you have prose, but you also have these bouts of rhyming couplets. You have characters who speak soliloquies. So there's a real mix of worlds in this play. I think that immediately sets up a theatrical experience in my mind, even before we take to the rehearsal stage, yeah.
For you, Razif, how has rehearsing changed what you had anticipated?
Well, I usually come from a more realistic approach of things, but I think this play has really pushed me to the boundaries of, okay, let's go fantasy, let's go nuts, you know what I mean? Let's be as big and magnanimous as we can, and that it's okay. You know, I'm not quite used to that.
So it's quite bizarre.
Yeah, it is.
How would you describe Ido at the start of the play before he discovers that his wife and his son are hostages to this guy, Ogoro, an escapee from a prison? Mm-hmm. You have just read the part. Mm-hmm.
Dedicated, he is focused on his work. You know, he lives the
good
life.
Good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. So for him to be confronted with such a horror would definitely shake him. I mean, it's something that he wouldn't expect in his life. I mean, a comparison would be, say, 50s America in suburbia. He is that guy who just goes to work, comes home, feeds his family, and is generally a good person, or rather what society thinks a good person is.
Kind of like father knows best.
Yes, yes.
Wholesome.
Very wholesome.
Family also quite wholesome.
Yeah.
What truth, when I say truth, I don't mean truth with a capital T. What aspects of our human condition is being expressed in this play?
Mm. Now, that's a good question. Mm. Because of the hostage taking and the events which take place, I think it explores to a deep degree the idea of victimhood, vengeance, or the capability of any human being to be pushed towards acts of monstrosity. I think that the play kind of comments on this idea that we are all capable of evil. Evil is not a case of being good innately or being bad innately. It is you being a victim of circumstance, and your circumstances define what type of person you may be.
Are we talking about evil as in good and bad, or are we talking about violence that we are capable of?
Yeah, I think that, the line there is very blurred. If I were to give a bit of context about the play was written, or rather adapted, in the aftermath of 9/11. So
The first production was in 2006.
Yes, correct. The playwright, I think, took those events and they informed the structure of the play in terms of retaliation. Is it okay, or what is the morality of retaliation? What is the morality of people being faced with circumstances where they're helpless? That idea of being backed into a corner, what do you do then? And then how does it escalate? So definitely the idea of, is violence a justified form of retribution, in a sense?
Justified, or is it something to be expected?
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know, I'm asking that question.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are the questions that the play puts forth, and I think it's really up to our audience to make the decision at the end for them based on what they see. Yeah.
Is it true or not true, again, sorry, I'm just trying to jog my memory,
sure,
that the actual situation, this bizarre situation, was based on a true story?
Yep, yep.
Actually, there was an actual hostage taking in Japan, and that inspired the event, you know, for this story or the basis of it. As bizarre as it may sound, it was actually true. Then 9/11 and everything came and inspired the entire play. I guess at the end of the day, it may have not panned out like this story, but I would say, to add to Arif's words, is that it's choices. It's choices that we make to progress, you know, with whatever circumstances is with us. And sometimes you're just pushed to make the wrong choices. It has to be right. You know what I mean? There's nothing else to do.
Does the play take a position as to moral culpability of the individuals like Ido, like Ogoro?
I wouldn't want to impose on anyone who watches the play, but me personally, I think I lean towards the fact that it doesn't. I think that throughout the play, we empathize with Ido. All these wrong choices, as Razif mentioned, all these wrong choices he makes are the only choices he can make. And for you watching that, I mean, to imagine yourself in that position, it's very difficult to imagine yourself acting a different way. I mean, from the outside, you can definitely say, oh, what an evil guy. How can you commit these crimes? But when you see the extent of what he's going through, I think it's difficult to pass judgment on an individual in those situations.
In everything I've read, the police is described as somehow apathetic, ineffectual. Razif, you play one of the policemen, right?
No. Oh, yes. I do.
I do. See, he doesn't even seem like a policeman.
I don't identify myself with law enforcement, that's why. Okay, no, but yeah.
Playing that character, what were your thoughts? Why, as the policeman, in the face of something so horrible like hostage taking, where things are being cut off, why is the police apathetic?
So just a bit of background about Anchoku, right? I think the position that he takes is that, and again, this falls back to realism, no matter what kind of crisis is going on in this world, I think we all should just take a step back, relax, and handle it as we do, you know what I mean? And anyone who's facing a crisis has to just, life has to go on. You know what I mean? Even in a war-torn country, I still have to sell food in order for me to make some money, or I have to eat, you know what I mean? And so the character of this policeman, this particular policeman that I play, shows a light on a man that is just a man. He's disgusting. He's a bit, how should I say? He's
direct.
Direct. But what's that word? Chauvinistic? Absolutely chauvinistic. And you just tend to see, oh, this is just another human being. Not that he's not being apathetic to Ido in his situation, but he is in his own way. You know what I mean? So I think that's what's beautiful about the play. It sheds light on so many different types of characters. Mm-hmm. Even within a law enforcer, he's still a human being.
And I think that's a really interesting point, because we do see human beings, despite the fact that most of the characters you come across are extremely caricatured almost.
a hostage crisis plays out over time. And while we tend to think of hostage crisis and what we watch on television and the film, it's like everything's so heightened. But there are definitely moments when we are ourselves. Even in a hostage crisis, people laugh, people need to eat. I've talked to some folks who are from the Middle East where they have experienced a war. But then you see that people still get married there. So therefore, there are moments which are, in a sense, the mundane also plays its part.
Yep.
So how fair is it to say that what transpired as Ido takes matters in his own hands is bizarre? Mm. Possible, but not so probable. Mm. To what extent do you think that plays are done in this way and characters are driven to perhaps possible, but not necessarily probable, for a particular purpose?
I think that's definitely the case. And I think the theatre space allows for that. You have to look at the whole reason why anyone does theatre, or for the audience. It's because by the end of that show, the audience should have changed in some way. They should have gone to see a show and come out feeling invigorated or enriched as human beings. I think that's the whole purpose of art. And if we're talking about the events which take place in the play, yes, they are bizarre. Yes, you might not expect them to happen in real life, but I think also the whole point of theatre and art in general is to try to say the unsayable so that it reveals something that we wouldn't usually do in everyday lives. Like, what is the extent of a human being in terms of responding to...
How far can you stretch somebody's patience?
Yes.
Or how far can you stretch somebody's goodness?
Yes. But I would also say that not all theatre has to be extreme. It's just, does it change the audience by the end of it? Is it the right way to tackle an issue, or is it something revealing? And if it is, then I think that we have done our job.
The main thing here is that this story in itself is coincidence. Mm-hmm. It's also very serendipity. There's a lot of serendipity within this entire play. So I think because it's so bizarre, our job is to narrow it back to reality so that we don't get the audience too lost in this bizarre world. Because at the end of the day, in order for them to move from one space to another as an audience, you know, to change, whether we fuel them with happiness or anger or anything, the play makes them react, it requires that that groundedness to it. To answer your question, I feel that probable, improbable is all part of the life of this play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is it called the bee?
Oh, okay. There are lots of reasons.
There is a bee?
There is a bee. So number one, there is a bee in the play. Secret revealed. but I think there are lots of cultural references we take from the idea of a bee, you know, the idea of a worker bee, in being a salaryman, you know, in the corporate life. The idea that a bee sting, when a bee stings someone, it dies. The moment it tries to retaliate, it kills itself. So this idea of self-destruction as well. I think there's also, you know, the idea of a bee kind of as an obsession. This idea of obsession, the buzz of a bee, the phrase "the bee in your bonnet." There are lots of things which I think do resonate throughout the play, and which is what makes it quite exciting.
So we have the bee in the Indicini.
Yes, that's right. Yes. I mean,
the
like
bee,
you
in
know, we. I think when we discussed it, we couldn't really come to a conclusion. But you know, I think Arif really nailed it in the head. Other interpretations we had was because of the use of the media in play itself. We're talking about the buzz around it, and because of the takeover, the hostage situation, it represents Poland, you know what I mean?
and so on and so forth.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A play, The Bee, opened at KL Pack last evening. But before then, I spoke to Arif Hamizan, who is the assistant director of this production, and to one of the actors, Razif Hashim. Coming up, some words from the director and reviews from the audience. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're tuned to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. A play based on a Japanese short story is playing at KL Pack. And last week, before the play opened, I got to speak with Arif Hamizan and Razif Hashim. After the show, I talked to some of the audience.
I come to enjoy the show. I would say I enjoy it at the first half of the show. But as the show goes by, I was kind of lost. Yeah, but I think I love the set. I love the minimalist set. How they do a minimalist set, but just not just like a table or chair. Yeah, that's all.
What did you just watch?
Oh, the bee. Yeah. Well, we were stuck in the traffic for 1 hour, so by the time we came here, the play had started. So we were just thrust into the middle of this intense insanity. Only the Japanese can do something like that. But it was intense all the way. And I mean, the acting was really, really like, boom! Yeah? And the whole time I was just thinking, you know, man, the Japanese are really kinky. You know?
I talked to Kelvin Wong. So Kelvin, as the director, what are your thoughts after seeing opening night?
Oh, I think it's great to have an audience and to hear responses, to see the details. As much as there are details in the play itself, it's also very interesting to see the details on part of the audience as they were going through the experience.
What for you worked best in this play, looking at it from the perspective of the rehearsal and then now opening night?
I think we were very clear in terms of the story that we wanted to tell from day one itself, in terms of where all the dramatic points are, and to see it come alive again one more time, yeah, on stage tonight was a delight. In a sense, we stuck to the story that we still had wanted to tell.
What would you tweak having seen opening night?
I think. If we had a little bit more time, I think a little bit work on the movement itself, the sharpness and the details and the specificity of the movement, physical storytelling itself. That would be something that we'd spend a little bit more time on.
The play was originally set in Japan, mm-hmm. and the characters have Japanese names. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it felt as if like the inspector was attempting to create a sense of Japanese-ness. Mm-hmm. How much of this was being worked through as to how much Japanese-ness needs to go into this production?
I think it's interesting to note that this play was originally written not for a Japanese audience. It was written for an English audience first, by a Japanese and English playwright, before it was then translated to Japanese the following year. So the text in which the text that we use was catered to an English-speaking audience. And of course, I mean, having set it in Tokyo, as mentioned in the script itself, right? I think it was part of our dramaturgical discussion that that the Japanese-ness was not necessarily the... If we lost the Japanese-ness, for instance, we would not lose the story. And so the Japanese-ness was a touch to dramaturgical treatment of the entire play.
Was there an attempt that people need to speak with a sense of Japanese-ness, or you left it up to your actors to decide how much Japanese would they bring to the character? Mm.
I think it's very important to note that this play was not written realistically, and so there is a rhythm, there is a cadence to the language. And when I say language, it's English language, right? In terms of bringing in of the Japanese-ness again, it was not of high significance to us, and I feel like the play would have gotten across even if we took the Japanese-ness out. Now, this Japan that we had wanted to portray was a mythical version of Japan as opposed to a highly, highly accurate one. I mean, like, for one, the Japanese don't speak English to begin with, and the way that the violent sequences were being treated, they were treated expressionistically as well. And so in that sense, there was a looser interpretation, a larger room to play in terms of the quote unquote, you know, Japanese-ness of it. We've talked about it. I think the Japanese-ness is less external. It's more an internal thing in terms of culture, in terms of politics, in terms of the way of thinking as well, in terms of what specifically do the characters focus on and together with the given circumstances, more so than the external quality of the entire play. As long as it fit into this entire world, decided our directorial creative choices in terms of whether we do keep it or we don't. I don't think there was a gauge in terms of, you know, how Japanese are you, and I did not see that to be particularly important or significant.
What for you is the takeaway from this storytelling?
From this storytelling, I think the takeaway is how we grow up in a particular society, not just in terms of not just Japanese society, but in any society that we're in. That as we grow older, we are being told to conform. We are being told to follow certain rules. We have social responsibilities and all. And sometimes that might go against us when we are being told to stay within the box and ensure that everything is the same. Everything is safe when everything is the same, where nothing changes. Everyone sticks to their particular roles. When that itself is challenged and sometimes that can go against you itself, then that's when we begin to see monsters coming out of us.
So a crisis precipitates the real in us, while or the everyday just makes us conform to the mundane.
I think in situations where we're being pushed to the edge and at the same time we are still asked to conform, I think that is when we see the monsters unleash in us.
Once upon a time, there was a man who, for all the world, appeared to be good. He worked hard, cared for his family, and lived life as it is commonly felt that one should. But then a bad man came into that good man's life and took as hostages the good man's son and wife. And for all that the good man was good, he could not bring himself to behave as it is commonly felt that one should. So he made the decision to become perfectly bad, to out-bad the baddie in the bad tricks that he had. This was what he had to do. He knew that he should. And the badder he got, the more it was good.
The Bee, a play by Hideki Noda and Irish playwright Colin Teven, opens at KL Pax in the Sydney Thursday, February 1st, yesterday, and will run through to Sunday, February 11th. Performances are in the evenings at 8:30 p.m., except on Sundays when they are at 3 p.m. No shows on Monday and Tuesday. Tickets are priced at 58 with concessions at 48. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.